microphone.
Yeah, please do better. Thank you. Okay. That was really interesting. I knew this was going to be an interesting session. So, our next speaker is Siobhan Mady, who is from Portland State University, assistant professor, early in the morning, social epidemiologist. Her research is focusing on health disparities, training, and as an academic dedicated to preparing the future public health workforce, and she will be talking about the Oregon Public Health Workforce Survey. So, Siobhan?
So, welcome. I just want to welcome two very special people, so
hello.
That I haven't seen in a while. So, I do want to just thank my co-authors on this project. This was a service project, essentially done without any funding, in our free time, after work, in coffee shops, which there are very many coffee shops in Portland, and we've seen many of them during the duration of this project. So, just keep that in mind when we go along. But what I do like to say is that, following on the previous speaker, one of the ways that the public health workforce is really important, well, we know all of those, but is that, like Indiana, Oregon has a very low number of primary care physicians and many other sort of primary health care providers around the state, and the public health workforce is filling a huge need in that regard. So it's really important to consider what is going on in all the different areas. So here's that disclosure statement that we all had to provide. I just guess I spoke it. So one of the things I want to talk about, and actually I think I'll move to a different slide, is what is the public health workforce? And we're all part of the public health workforce, but we've probably never really thought about what it is. And several different documents describe it in many different ways. And one, you know, here are a few potential ways to describe it, but I think the best one that I saw, I'm just going to jump up here, is the people that work to meet these essential public health services are those people that are considered the public health workforce. So we were able to speak to people who were essentially associated with the public health systems, the health departments, the academic institutions, but we did miss many other individuals if we're to look at slides like this, which these, as we know, are bad slides because they're too much information, but anyway. I'm just going to jump to the survey. So what this survey came out of is that there's the APHA affiliate in Oregon, the Oregon Public Health Association, had recently, rebooted itself and was trying to get going and get in touch with the people that we were representing. And one of the co-authors was chair of the association at that time, and so we thought, and he approached me about doing a survey just to see what is going on in the public health workforce in our state. Just in case you don't know where Oregon is, I actually found this map and I thought it was great, but we have a large state with a very rural population out east. Most of the urban population is around the Willamette Valley, which includes cities like Portland, which is very hip these days, apparently. Housing is crazy, though, so it's not really great in that regard. But most of the people who work in the health departments are sort of clustered in the Willamette Valley, so that'll influence our results. So, like the public health workforce in general, Oregon is actually diversifying quite rapidly, not only socioeconomically, but racially and ethnically, and then as well as in terms of different types of positions that are bringing people to the state. And then as people age, and actually all of, you know, this information here is applicable across the country, but as people age and the socio-demographic profiles of the people who reside in the state change, then the public health workforce needs to adapt. And one of the statements that has been made quite frequently is that the public health workforce is aging or is very aged, and that we are pushing to prepare the future of the public health workforce. And that's actually, and we're trying to train them to be able to meet the needs of these changing populations. So just a brief showdown of what Oregon looks like. We're actually a little bit older, a little bit whiter, and about the same in everything else than the rest of the country. So what I realize this doesn't show, this is 2007 data from the American Community Survey, but if you were to see the population in 2000, it was quite different. And Oregon's had, well, Portland in particular, have had quite a surge in population, mostly from people in California, actually. So our idea was to identify as much of the public health workforce across the state that we could, and then to identify the needs of that population, and also to think about, we partnered with the Oregon Master of Public Health Program to help identify some ways that the program could fill in for, or not fill in, but sort of expand its training capacity to meet the needs of the population across the state. And then we wanted to do a little bit more development, obviously, for workforce, in the workforce, and also to identify any key areas of difference or disparities. So what we did is pulled from oodles of other tools that have been used. I mean, HRSA has done a survey of late of the state health workforce. Many surveys have been done looking at the medical care workforce. So we had a lot of opportunities to pull from different sources. We did a web-based survey, which was our thought that we would get the most response. And it seemed to work, thanks. So we had many questions, but our objectives were to look again at sort of describing the public health workforce, ideally above and beyond just the public health department workers, and also to identify where we could go into the future and where we needed to boost our efforts. So recruitment was sort of an odd thing, but what we did is we announced our intention to launch this survey in newsletters. We also, what the primary bit was, I enumerated all the public health agencies or organizations that ideally we felt were serving the needs of the largest population or health-related needs. And so we contacted the executive directors or what have you of those organizations or academic institutions to see if those individuals would help us recruit. And how we recruited was through emails and targeted emails and listservs. So what you should be thinking about already is sort of how representative are our data, given this is how we recruited people. So 17 large-scale organizations were contacted repeatedly, and we were able to get 11 to participate. What was great is the health officer at the time was very willing to, for the state health officer, was willing to open everything up, give us access to everyone who was listed in the health system workforce. So that was great. So myself and my two co-authors were able to work with some other individuals that represented organizations to target, you know, send targeted emails to over 1,400 people. And then we have one of the limitations of this study is that we did list our survey website to oodles of listservs, but we have no idea how many people that reached. So we weren't able to accurately enumerate a denominator. Has anyone here ever done one of these web-based surveys? Okay, great. So we're all familiar with what, maybe how not so user-friendly the data arrives at your doorsteps, shall we say. But so we struggled with dealing with data to make it able to be analyzed in a way that would be useful. And we just did the basic descriptive statistics, which we're presenting here. So, holy moly. What we ended up with is not too unexpected in that we had the majority of the people that responded were white and were women. And then the age range, we did target the students, the current students in the Master Public Health population who are primarily represented here. We'll see. Here's some more of those slides that you really shouldn't do. But what I just want to point out, here is, I think what struck me the most is that our population is, as all, are multilingual and growing in that regard. And so are we able to communicate with people? And we had several qualitative questions where the majority of individuals are working with or trying to communicate with populations that don't speak English as a primary language and are not necessarily able to adequately provide care of whatever sort because of that disconnect. But what I was happy to see is that the younger population are those that are actually better able to communicate with other in languages other than English, and we had a whole slew, but Spanish was the primary one that we had. I'm happy that in the future we'll have more individuals who can communicate with the populations we're serving. The only other disconnect here was that of those that had a bachelor's or less than a bachelor's degree, that non-white communities were more likely to be present there, but there weren't significant differences across the other categories. When we look at Master of Public Health degrees, we all know, at least of those that responded to the survey, they are primarily women in that training workforce. The only other place that we're finding that in terms of income distribution was looking at in gender. So there were some gender differences in terms of lower income pay. I will say that we had a question that we'll get to later that asked people what their sort of greatest source of satisfaction was, and income was one of the options, and luckily no one chose that because it worked out well for them. So now, here's again. So what these two slides were trying to get at was where do the majority of people work? And again, what sort of responsibilities do they have, and do those differ? And where they primarily differ is in terms of gender. The only other place that struck sort of across with race and ethnicity differences was around the area of advocacy. And what we realized, even though there was a description of how advocacy was defined, it was interesting that this was a smaller, that there was a difference here, that there was a lower percentage. But again, you know, how do people interpret that question? And then there are multiple gender differences in epi and direct patient care, et cetera. In terms of satisfaction, what I actually was surprised to find is that the majority of people were pretty satisfied, and there weren't differences by race, ethnicity, gender, or age for the most part in terms of being happy. And then again, like I mentioned, not many people chose income, but it seems that most folks were satisfied due to the public health impact that they were making. So I think we need to build upon that because I think that is probably one of the characteristics of public health that motivates most of us. The longevity piece I think is one because I think there's a stereotype that the public health workforce is older and everyone's retiring like next year, and that's not showing up in the state of Oregon at least. There's some proportion, but not that many. So I found this to be kind of interesting. And that looking at the young public health workforce, they tend to be more racially and ethnically diverse. And so I'm happy to say that that's a little bit of improvement that we've been able to observe here in Oregon, or up the road. So we've had improved diversification. A lot more needs to occur. We have a young workforce, not an old one, as we thought primarily. And gender and age differences are more pronounced, but the age differences are sort of appropriate. And the two things I just want to mention, one is, again, we primarily heard from people that worked in health departments. the state health department, some people who worked in communities. That's the limitation. There are many providers that work in the field of public health that we hadn't heard from, and it's possible that those individuals had more differences. But there's more to be done, and Oregon's a great place, and obviously we could use some help. So thank you.